you will not receive the kingdom of God. We all have to be like little children and come to Jesus. Amen. We're going to dismiss the children for Children's Church. Let's bless them as they head out for their class this morning. I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 20. I'd like to talk to you about God's Christmas gift. We have a number of gifts that are under the tree, gifts that we've prepared, we've hopefully carefully chosen to give to loved ones and to friends and family. But there's a greater gift at Christmas time, and I want to talk about that this morning. Look with me at Luke chapter 2, and let me read for us verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. And so Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time for the baby to be born came. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, today as we're on the day before Christmas, there are many things to distract us, including things here that are happening. We don't always understand all those things, Lord. And yet you call us to a deeper calling. Lord, you want us to look past the surface things. And so, Lord, today as we look in your word, help us to step back from the familiarity of the Christmas story and with fresh eyes and fresh ears of the Spirit in us, hear your word, receive it, and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of stress going on these days, is there not? We have a lot of stress in many, many different ways. Each one of us could probably talk about the areas of stress in our life, whether it's work, family, going to school, college, trying to find a job. As we look at the world scene around us, there's constant wars, rumors of wars. Of course, the Bible has told us about this. Jesus said this would happen, did he not? Matthew chapter 24, he said there would be wars and rumors of war. Nation will rise against nation. We see that constantly. We have constant threat and concern of terrorist attack, not only throughout the world, but in our own country. We're thankful that we've been kept safe for the most part, though there's been a few things that have happened over these past weeks. There's a lot of stress. And Jesus speaks to us about these things. And he also spoke to us even before he was born through his angels. We read these words, and I know they're familiar to us. We've heard them 100 times or 1,000 times, perhaps, depending on how many years we've gone to church. You've heard them over and over and over again. But I hope this morning you can look a little deeper with me at these words. And I think what we'll see is that, and this is really the main point of what I want to share with us this morning, that God offers a Christmas gift to us. It's a gift of his peace and rest. It's a gift of his peace and his rest that comes only through him, only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We hear these words that the angels speak. First, they say to him in verse 11, they say to us in verse 11, as they said to the shepherds, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord." He prefaces that by saying, "I bring you great news," or good news, "that will be of great joy for all the people." How often have we missed that as we've gone through hearing the Christmas story? "I bring you good news, great news that will be for joy for all the people." And yet sometimes we hear the Christmas story and we're like, "Oh yeah, another Christmas, that was great." And we miss it. I want to challenge you, don't miss Christmas this year. And I'm not talking about the tinsel on the trees, the gifts under the tree, the lights, whatever other traditions you have for Christmas. I'm talking about the advent of Christ, our Lord. I'm talking about the impact of the gift of Christmas for us. You see, in this world of stress, in this world of unrest, we can have deep tranquility, satisfaction, well-being, and fulfillment in our lives, in our soul. And that is what we need, is it not? Isn't it amazing that what you can go through as long as you are at peace, as you're at rest? You can go through anything. Anything that this world can throw at you, as long as you have the peace of the Lord, you can go through it and say, "Lord, I don't understand this." And by the way, it's okay to say, "Lord, I don't like this." Job certainly said that. You know, you read over and over again, Job, he says, "Lord, what is up with this?" That's basically his words. That's the translation of the Hebrew. Did you know that? "God, what is up with this?" And he was not happy. We know at the end of the book of Job, God really never gives him a satisfactory answer. But what he says to him is, "I am God, and I am here, and you are a human, and you don't understand these things, but I will be with you." I was reading, I've been reading through the book of Joshua for devotions over the past several days, and I'm amazed how God is saying the same thing to Joshua that he said to Moses. He says to him, "Joshua, I'm going to be with you. I will be with you no matter what happens. And therefore, do not be afraid. Obey me. Follow what I say to you. And turn neither to the right nor to the left. And I will be with you." And I know Joshua was so glad of that truth as he led God's people. Well, let's talk a few minutes about this peace that he gives to us. For the angel says in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. What is this peace? I think one of the ways to try to describe it is to describe what it is not. We know in that day that the Roman Empire was in control of the vast majority of the world, the known world of that day. Their empire stretched all the way across Europe, all the way into Asia, all the way down into North Africa, and they boasted of the Pax Romana. I don't know if any of you remember that from school. Do they still teach history in school? The Pax Romana, the peace of the Romans, the peace of the empire. And you see, under Roman rule, that vast empire they had was at peace. Of course, they did not talk about the fact that they enforced that peace with brutal means, with mercenary soldiers. And anyone that tried to cause unrest, they squashed them quickly. Thousands and thousands of people were massacred under their rule. And so you see, an enforced peace is not what the angel is talking about here. The Jews of the first century lived in Palestine under Roman occupation and Roman rule, and they longed for peace. They longed for it just as much as we long for peace today. Although we are not occupied and we are a free and democratic country, there are times that we long for peace. You turn on the TV and you see our leaders squabbling and fighting and fussing and feuding, and you're like, golly day, can we just not have some peace? Can we just not get along here and get some things done? The Jewish people wanted to be free of Roman rule, free of the oppression of the Romans, and rule themselves as they had under King David and his successors. They believed that the Messiah was coming. They understood the prophecies that the Messiah, the Deliverer, was coming. And he would arise to give them peace. Let's look at what is written by Dr. Luke in chapter 1, verses 67 through 75. And David Kofelt is going to read that for us.
His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He has said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days."
Thank you. They believed the Messiah was going to come and set them free from their enemies. And we can understand that from what is written in the prophets. They were told over and over again about the Deliverer that was going to come. And here, of course, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, is prophesying about the coming one. First, he's prophesying about his son John, who was going to be the forerunner. But then about the Christ, the Deliverer, who would come. They believed Messiah would be a conquering king. And by victory over the enemies, he's going to establish peace. Unfortunately, this has caused many Jewish people to reject Jesus Christ. Because he said, "I did not come to be a conquering king. I've come to be a servant. I've come to save that which was lost." Even today, there are Orthodox Jews in Israel that are still looking for the Messiah. Every year they say, as they head towards Yom Kippur and they don't see the Messiah come, they say next year in Jerusalem. They're looking for the Messiah to come. They missed the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, because he was not what they expected and what they wanted him to be. That speaks to us, doesn't it? Sometimes we want Jesus to be something that he is not. We want him to be what we want him to be. We want him to be the big sugar daddy in the sky that we present him our laundry list of things that we need. And, "God, you're supposed to give these things to me." We go to him when we have big problems. When we get into a jam. You see, because we can handle it up to that point. But when we get into a big jam, we can't find our way out. Oh, then we go to Jesus. Isn't that true? We often make Jesus into that God in the closet. We speak only to him about our needs. We speak about the crises. But a crisis faith is not what Jesus is looking for us. He wants to give us peace, but he wants a faith that is active, vibrant, that lives a life filled with his Spirit every day. And so this kind of enforced peace of a conquering king coming to the earth today is not the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about here. No, this gift of peace that he offers to us is a peace of inner quietness, inner rest within us, where we are first in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We read in verses 10 through 14, the angel declares that the Savior has been born to you this day. He is Messiah the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Wait, stop right there a minute. God, you see all the problems in this world. You see what's happening. The Romans have occupied, the Romans oppressed, and you send a baby? Oh, and by the way, this baby has been conceived miraculously through Mary, who is a virgin. Wow. That's quite a story, isn't it? Let me ask you something this morning. Do you believe it? Do you believe what the angels say? Do you believe that he is Christ, the Savior, the Lord, the one who has come, yes, to deliver us, but not from oppression around us, but to deliver us from sin and deliver us from ourselves? Do you believe it? Have you received his peace? You see, because it's a deep inner peace that nothing can rustle. Nothing can mess with it. He is the Messiah, the Savior, born to die, but also born to rise again. And regardless of what's happening around us, in this world, in this nation, or to us individually, in our individual situations, we can have that peace. Because it's a peace between us and God. He brings freedom from sin. Freedom from sin's consequences in our life. Paul describes it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Real peace. This is God's Christmas gift to us. Inner peace that comes from knowing him intimately and being in right relationship to him that Jesus Christ has made possible. Why? It's because we were once his enemies. We often think of others and other situations and those that oppress us as the enemies of God. But what we have to come to in our lives is that there is a time when we were enemies of God. I remember discussing this with a person, and they said, oh, I'm not God's enemy. I don't have anything against God. I said, God has something against you. And they're like, what? What did I do? I said, let me tell you. And I broke out my list. No. I said, there's something very important. I said, God sent his son for us. And he said, my son is the Savior of this world. My son is sent for your sins. What have you done with God's son? You see, when we ignore him, when we trivialize him, when we relegate him to a baby in the manger, under the tree, on the mantle, and that's all we think about is Jesus, and that's all we give to him all year long, then you are acting as God's enemies. You see, because it's only a friend of God who embraces not only the Christ child, but the Christ who died and rose again and now declares and demands that he is Lord, Lord of our lives. How many sermons have you set through about Christmas, about the babe in the manger, about Christ who has come? How many sermons have we heard, and yet, do we get it? Do we surrender our lives to Him to follow Him as Lord? Not just one day at church, when emotions run high, and we're moved by perhaps the music or a testimony as was given today, but we are following Jesus Christ every day. Where every day we wake up and say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't live this life, but You can live it through me. And I surrender. And whether you physically kneel on your knee, on your knees, which I recommend it, it's a good practice. We all ought to have camel knees. Or you bow in your heart and in your mind, you say, Lord, I surrender to You this day. Fill me with Your Spirit that I might live in Your presence, that You might live Your life through me this day. You see, unless you're doing that, you are still acting as God's enemies. Let me try to put it in the context of a soldier, the army, since the Roman soldiers and the Roman powers occupied at this time. What if you're part of a regiment and your commanding officer says to you, the next morning I want you to get up early and I want you to go over to the kitchen. You got KP duty. I want you to go over there and I want you to break out the potatoes and I want you to start peeling the potatoes early tomorrow morning. And we say, oh, okay. And the next morning we get up and we're like, yeah, you know, peeling potatoes? There's Christmas gifts under the tree. You know, I got company coming. I've got people. We have a roast to cook. I got things I've got to wrap. I've got things I've got to get done here. So, you know, I'll worry about the potatoes later. I'll worry about doing that later. Oh, we wouldn't do that, would we? But how often do we do that to God every day? Oh, God, I know I should pray. I know I should take some time and read Your Word. I know I should have a devotional time where I get my heart right, where I deal with myself, but I got all these things to do, God. Important things. I've got a business to run. I've got studies I've got to prepare. I've got finals I've got to deal with. Aren't you glad the finals are over, college kids? Praise God, they're done. And congratulations to those that passed and graduated. Great to have Cameron here with us today. But how often do we do that to God? We put Him on the shelf. We put Him in the manger. Say, oh, baby Jesus, isn't that sweet? And we go on our way. Jesus, the Savior, was born to bring us peace because He is the Savior and the Son of God, and He died for us, and He rose again, and He declares, I am Lord. So if you want His peace, it comes with a price. If you want His rest, it comes with a surrender. And that is the only way that we can receive it. It is not automatically given. Number two, we receive this gift by believing in Jesus Christ. We trust in what He's done for us, and we receive Him into our lives. The Gospel of John, verses 1, 12 through 13. Colin is going to read that for us.
Actually, I am. All right. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God.
Go back to verse 12 for me, Kim. Yet to all who received Him, those who believed in His name, He, that is Christ, gave them the right to become children of God. You don't receive the right to become a child of God any other way. You don't inherit it. Your church might be a great church-going family, or it might be like mine that never went to church in their background. None of that matters because you and I must make a decision personally and specifically to receive Christ, to believe in Him, receive Him into our lives, and He gives us the right to become children of God. And then you receive His rest. Then you receive His peace. You see, the truth of Christmas is that this Christ child we worship in the manger came to bear the punishment of your sin and my sin. And He died on that cross and rose from the dead, and He conquered death and forever put away its power over us. That's why we can receive peace. That's why we can have peace in this world. Some of you have recently lost family members. Even though it's been a few years, I can still remember my mom's passing, my father's passing. It's horrible. Terrible. Death is an awful thing. And no matter what you do, you can't soften it. We try our best. When I go to funerals, sometimes I get called to do a funeral and I don't even know the person. They just ask, are you available to do a funeral? And I say, sure, I'll be glad to, because it gives me the opportunity to preach the hope and the gospel of Christ. And I go to funerals and we have flowers lined up and we have pictures, beautiful memories of the person. And sometimes it's an open casket, sometimes it's not. And if it's an open casket, you know, they try the best to make the person look beautiful, and you can't make them look beautiful. They're dead. It's awful. And there's nothing in this life you can do to get around it. All of us are going out unless Jesus comes again. We're all going out that way. You see, the world around us, they don't want to accept that. They don't want to deal with that. But we must. You notice the angel says, glory to God in the highest, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. God's favor rests on those who respond to Christ's call. We put away our self-will, our self-rule, we surrender ourselves, we stop the self-justification, and we admit that we cannot, we admit that we are sinners, and we must receive the Savior. We receive Him into our life as our Lord and our Master. There are many people that put Jesus off. I did that as a young person. I said, you know, Jesus, I'll deal with you later. I'll deal with you when I get a little bit older. But right now, I'm just kind of running my life. I'm just kind of doing my own life. I'm kind of doing my own thing. I want to do what I want to do. I want to have some fun. And Jesus, I'll get back to you later. Aren't you glad that He's gracious to us? He is a gentleman and He does wait. Now sometimes He does things to get our attention, as He did in my life. Don't put Jesus off. Whether you're a young person, whether you're an older person, don't put Jesus off. Today could be the day of salvation. If you have not received Christ, today could be the day of salvation. Have you received this Christmas gift of peace into your life? You see, it is for all of us. In verse 10 it says, I bring you great news that will cause great joy for all the people. This gift is for all of us. And we respond to His call in obedience. We receive this Christmas gift of peace. Number 3. When we receive this gift of peace, we are receiving Christ Himself, and He reveals the Father to us. You see, it's not a head game. I remember as a young person, and I would hear people talk about Jesus and talk about following Him, and I always just think to myself, you know, it's just a head game. Your faith is just a head game. It's not real. See, the problem was it wasn't real to me. It was real to them because they had encountered the risen Christ, but it wasn't real to me because I hadn't encountered Him. I hadn't received Him into my life, so of course it was all up here. You see, we're told that that is the greatest distance in the universe, from your head to your heart, 12 inches. And all of us must come to that place where we receive Christ and He reveals God to us. He reveals Him to us. God is no longer a concept. God is no longer something that we argue about, something that people use as a swear word. It's no longer that. But rather, He is the one that lives in me. The miracle of Christmas is that the Savior can bring me peace because He lives in me. Have you received Him, Jesus Christ, into your heart? You can today. It's not automatic. You must invite Him in. John chapter 1, verse 18. Charlene Flara is going to read that for us.
No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is the Father's, at the Father's side, who has made Him known.
Read it again for us, Charlene.
No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known.
Amen.
I think it's supposed to say Jesus, isn't it?
The one and only who is Jesus.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Jesus, the one and only, has revealed the Father. We can know God because Jesus has revealed Him. We can know the truth of Christmas because Jesus has revealed the Father. If you want to know God, you have to know Him through Jesus Christ, His Son, who came and revealed the Father to us. Have you received Christ? Do you need to invite Him into your life? Why not do it today? Mac set the pace for us this morning by receiving Christ into his life. Just as a child, he set the example for us. Or are we too sophisticated? We're going to put Jesus off into another time. The scripture says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. But rather, receive Christ today. And if you have received Christ, believer, are there things in your life that are disturbing your peace? Here's what Jesus says. Cast all of your cares upon me, because I care for you, says the Lord. Do not be anxious for anything, but in all things, with prayer and petition, give your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you receive Christ, but your peace is being disturbed, maybe there's something that God's trying to get your attention about. Maybe you've made this time of commitment, this time of surrender to Christ, maybe as a young child like Max's age, and yet as you go through life, somehow or another, it's gotten all warbled and messed up. Come back to the simplicity of faith. There's a lot of things in life that you and I cannot understand and cannot figure out. And you can end up shaking your fist at God. You can say, God, I don't understand this. I don't like this. But that does not mean you have to close yourself off. You can still walk with Him. And He will walk with you. Are there things that are disturbing your peace? Lay them down. Lay it down. Is there something God is calling you to give up? Sometimes our peace is being disturbed by something we are holding on to. A sin, a practice, a person. We're holding on to these before God, and He wants you to let it go. Lay it down. It's not worth it. The peace of God is ours as a gift, but it comes only with surrender and a continued walk in relationship with Christ every day. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you, says the Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you for the incredible gift of peace, inner peace, through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for each one of us here. Each one of us have different things going on in our lives. And Lord, you know us. You tell us that you know us intimately. Before a word is on our lips, you know it fully, O Lord. You saw my unformed body when I was in my mother's womb. You know us, Lord. And you know what each one of us are dealing with and going through. And today, Lord, I ask that you will work in our hearts. And Lord, if we need to lay it down, we need to lay our lives down to you, or we need to lay our lives afresh and new to you, that we would respond today. As we've been looking in the Lord's Word, as you've been speaking to us, is there anyone here that you need God to do a work in you? I want to pray for you. Would you indicate that to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your work in my heart. I need you to do a work. Would you raise your hand right now all across this congregation? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for working. Thank you, Lord. There's a beautiful old hymn of the faith. The chorus ends by saying, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Right now, I invite you in prayer, in this holy moment, this quiet moment, invite Jesus Christ into your heart, or invite him anew and say, Lord, I receive you, I surrender, or I surrender afresh, and I give you my life anew. Lord, let me have your peace. Let me have your joy. We thank you for the celebration of Christmas, Lord. Not merely for the presents, for family, for celebration, but Lord, for the gift of the Christ child, who is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Father, for faithfulness. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Can I invite the worship team to come and just close us with that last hymn? Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.